Good day, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the NTRA Road Trip to the Triple Crown 2017 conference call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Following the presentation, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. At that time, participants are asked to press star 1 to register for a question. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded. It is now my pleasure to introduce your host, Mr. Jim Moldehill. Please go ahead.
All right. Thank you, Melody. Welcome, everyone, to our first official Road to the Triple Crown teleconference of the spring. We're 39 days away from the first Saturday in May, and I'm not sure the Kentucky Derby picture has ever been so uncertain and this close to the race, at least not in this era of the Road to the Kentucky Derby point system. But this weekend, we kicked off three straight weeks of the major final stop American prep races worth 170 points each, starting with the Florida Derby and the Louisiana Derby this Saturday. Now, later in this call, we'll connect with Jose Pinchon. He's the trainer of Three Rules, who's one of the leading contenders for the Florida Derby. But first, we get to address the $1 million TwinSpires.com Louisiana Derby. We've got the trainers of the winners of the first two prep races at Fairgrounds. Neil Howard coming up in a bit. He trains the LeCompte Hero guest suite. And our first guest, Joe Sharp, trains the Risen Star winner and the likely Louisiana Derby favorite, Gervin. This is the first time we welcome Joe onto one of these teleconferences, so some quick background for you. Joe's 32. He went out on his own as a trainer about 3 years ago after working as an assistant to Mike Maker. During that time, he managed Maker's Fairgrounds string, and that included a Louisiana Derby winner with Vickers in Trouble. Before that, he was an assistant to Mike Stidham, and he also logged time as both a jockey and a jockey's agent. His dad was a trainer, his mom an exercise rider, and his wife, Rosie Napravnik, of course, is a former jockey who won four riding titles in New Orleans and now assists Joe at the barn and gets on Gervin many mornings. Joe Sharp, it's Jim Mulvihill in Lexington. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Well, it's our pleasure. Congratulations on another great meet at Fairgrounds. You're second in the trainer standings currently, and of course, you got the big Risen Star win. You know, Gervin surprised a few people in the Risen Star, probably because he was going turf to dirt after winning that Keith G. Memorial. Can you just tell us how his campaign developed over the winter and when you realized that maybe he belonged on the Derby trail?
Well, you know, he's obviously, when he left Grand Oaks, which is Brad Grady's farm in Ocala, run by Bobby Dodd, who's a two-year-old training consigner, you know, Bobby told me that he's one of the nicest horses that they've ever sent off the farm up to that point. And, you know, Bobby doesn't give that out often. So with that, when he showed up, we already had some high expectations. And, you know, but initially he was kind of pretty unassuming. He's, you know, very mild-mannered. And, you know, we waited to run him first time out. I was considering running him long first time out, but ended up sprinting him. And he surprised us being on the lead in some pretty hot fractions and obviously, dogs fight all the way to the wire with a nice horse and house calls. So that was – he showed more speed and expected his maiden win. From there, we were away on Christmas holiday and got the call that a horse had been diagnosed with the herpes at Fairgrounds. And when I heard of the first case, I had I had a overflow string at Evangeline Training Center, and my dad, Mark Sharp, was my assistant. So immediately I got some of my better horses and or Gervin and Pulero and a couple of three-year-olds that I thought, you know, didn't want to, if we could eliminate some from the risk and allow them to be free to move about the country with the three-year-old campaign, we were going to do it if the Fairgrounds got shut down. So the Fairgrounds did get shut down, but they ended up shutting the whole state down. So basically he was stuck at the Mansion Training Center. But having said that, he was out of harm's way. There were no sick horses over there. So for that, I'm grateful. And it cost us not being able to run the comps because we couldn't, you know, we couldn't ship him in. So that's why we felt that it would be paramount to have a two-turn race in him before the Risen Star, and the only option that we were given was the Keith G on the grass. And you know, I talked to Brad about it, and we saw it as an opportunity to he gave him a good schooling, going two turns, and it served as that. I don't think it appeared to be his best, his favored surface, but it was mission accomplished. He settled off the pace, made a run. Brian made him gallop out and get a lot out of the race. And with that, we felt a lot more confident going into the Risen Star. Having said that, you know, first time two turns on the dirt, first grade two, you know, he had to move forward, and he did, and he did it the right way and had come out of it more a man than he went into it. So,
excellent to hear. Now, you know, in the week since the Risen Star, he's had a pretty consistent schedule, working every 7 days this month. You know, just tell us, since coming out of the Risen Star, man, how's he progressed in the week since then?
Yeah, I mean, he hasn't missed a beat, and that's pretty much been him since the day he walked in the barn. You know, we've just, every work's been what we expected it to be, and, you know, we feel as good as we ever have about him physically and mentally going into the Louisiana Derby. So, you know, I guess we're very grateful to have him in, so, you know, doing so well physically and mentally, and just be ready to be the favorite if that's what.
Very good, very good. Well, you're in a perfect spot for Saturday. Now let's check with the media and see what questions we have on the line for you. Melody?
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. If you do have a question, please press *1 on your telephone keypad. If you're joining us using a speakerphone today, please ensure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, *1 at this time for any questions. We'll go to Danny Brewer with HorseRacingScoop.com.
Hey, how are we doing today?
Doing well.
Garvin, lightly raced. How do you, I mean, is there a way that you get experience into him through your training methods to replace some of that on-track experience that maybe some of these other horses have, or you just roll with him like he is?
No, we just, you know, basically just kind of roll with it like he is. There's not much you can do in your training. I don't think that you simulate race experience at this point, so, you know, basically just throwing it at him and see how he takes it and as everything comes up.
Now, as far as his development, obviously last time out, pretty big performance. Were you surprised that he did that in the second race of his career, or was it something that you kind of expected?
Well, last time was the third race of his career, but we were obviously pleased with the move forward, and you can never expect, something like this, a horse like that to come such leaps and bounds in such a short time as far as all these, you know, having different surface, different distance pretty much every time. So, yes, we were pleased, surprised. I don't know if I would say surprised, but we did exceed our expectations.
Maybe pleasantly surprised, right?
Yeah, he exceeded our expectations for sure.
Now, as far as what's going to happen on Saturday, another stepping stone to the Kentucky Derby, as long as he's not injured, is that your thoughts? Is that kind of the game plan right now?
Yeah. No, I mean, it's, you know, Louisiana Derby, it's one race at a time for us, and, you know, Louisiana Derby is the next step. So after we, you know, see how he performs there and see how he comes out of it, then that's, you know, then we'll look at the next one. Obviously, we know that, you know, points-wise, we're going to be okay to get in the Derby, but, you know, if he, you know, he needs to perform well and come out of it well and make us feel like we need to be in the Derby, we should be in the Derby, not just because we have enough points to enter up. So.
Right, I understand. Well, I think you're doing a great job. Keep up the good work, and I certainly wish you the best of luck.
Okay, thank you, Terry.
We'll go next. We'll go next to Jenny Reese with the Kentucky HBPA.
Yes, Joe, just talk about the owner, Mr. Grady. Where's he from? What's his background?
As some of you know, Brad Grady is from Girvan, Texas, and that's where he got his name. It's a very small town. And, you know, Brad Grady has kind of made his way in – in the oil and gas field and moved on to real estate and some other things. So he's Brad Grady's a younger guy. I think he's 37, 38, something like that. And you know, he has a wife and three kids, and you know, we're pretty close on and off the track. So it's been instrumental in my career. He's been very instrumental in my career. And you know, we've been instrumental in bringing him to the highs of his career as well. So of his racing.
How long has he been? I'm sorry. I was just going to ask how long he's been in horse racing and how you met him.
Well, I would say he's been in horse racing. I don't know an exact number of years. I would say probably around 10, maybe under.
Okay.
Probably less than 10 years. Probably 5 to 7 years. I actually met him because my stepdad, Brett Calhoun, trained for him. And I met him through Brett at Saratoga. And, you know, a year later, we were all up to Saratoga again, and he gave me some money to claim horses while I was still with Mike Maker, and I started claiming some horses for him then, and that's when I decided that with an owner like that support, if I was ever going to be a time to go out on my own, that would be the time. So he was the reason that I, you know, then called Ramsey and went from there.
As you mentioned, you're in the Derby if you want to be in the Derby, as long as the horse is doing well. How does that change things as a because you want to see that he belongs in the Derby and the Louisiana Derby, but does it change things when you know you're already in the Derby if you want to be in the Derby?
I guess it does. And if you were kind of chasing Derby fever, which I never feel like I was, and neither was Brad. Having said that, it feels really good to know that you are a part of it. So I guess the confidence level maybe, helps a little bit to kind of already know and be able to take a deep breath as far as that goes. But, you know, being with our animals, and there's so much, you know, that can happen, and so many variables between now and the first Saturday in May, you know, you're just always on your toes, and you can never get too comfortable, because they are living and breathing things that at any point something could change. And, you know, so yes, it does give you some comfort and some peace of mind, and but at the same time, you know, I still feel the next prep race is needed to be, obviously, with a horse that's lightly raced like himself, you know, for experience, for physical fitness, and all of the above. So I, from that aspect, I would say no, it hasn't changed us as far as knowing we have enough points, but it sure mentally has made things a lot easier, I think.
You've been on the racetrack your whole life. Would you ever thought, like even like 15 years ago, the idea of a horse coming into the Derby for career starts, it's the game has changed. Nobody even really thinks twice about it now. Could you sort of reflect back maybe when you were growing up and watching Derbies and these horses had, you know, all these races behind them and stuff, and this now, you know, this is a serious player off three career starts into the Kentucky Derby.
Yeah, I think horses have changed physically over the years, as we all know, and the game's changed, and the pedigrees have changed, and you know, we've you know, just and just by watching other Derby contenders and other 2 and 3 year olds over the years, I think we've learned what to do, what not to do, and or what we think is right and wrong things to do or don't do. So, I don't remember modeling any of my patterns around something I'd seen in the past. Having said that, you know, I feel that there's a lot of different ways to get the same result. And, you know, I'm proud in this day and age to be able to have a fresh horse, to have a patient owner that let him be lightly raced and come in, to the Derby without, you know, letting the horse pick the race, not the race picking the horse. So that's to me is why we were able to be patient and have a fresh horse.
Okay, thanks so much, Joe.
Thanks, Jenny.
Once again, ladies and gentlemen, star one at this time. If you have a question, we'll go to Ron Clatter with BSIN.
Joe, what would you say you learned from Mike Maker about the Derby Trail and working for him, getting horses ready for the Derby, the 8 times that he had horses in the Derby?
I would say from Mike, you know, just like last year, Oscar nominated, you know, it's always an option until that last 3-year-old prep race is gone, so is over with. So At any time, you could still have one jump up. Also, just the routine doesn't change. I mean, you go and put your pants on every day like the same, and do the same thing with your horse as you would have if he was getting ready for an allowance race, a first level allowance race. You know, so that's kind of just the even consistency is what Mike has always displayed to me.
And in terms of Gervin, coming from just rating the pace last time out and intending to do that, is can you tell from this Derby crop what kind of, I mean, we're trying to put our finger on something with this group in terms of a trend. So often we see speed horses dominate early in the preps, and then you start to see closes a little bit toward the end. How does Gervin fit into trying to find a trend for this year?
Well, it's funny because actually I was actually just watching TVG waiting for this conference call, and, you know, they were talking about how this three-year-old picture right now is one of the most unclear that I remember ever, personally. And, you know, as far as speed goes, I do like that he obviously was on the lead when he needed to be, or, you know, when he was asked to be in his maiden race. He stopped just off the pace in the turf race, and he came from considerably further back in the Rhythm Stars. So he's shown three levels of versatility, which to me, obviously, we know that with all the situations that are thrown at you in the 20th on the first Saturday of May, you know, it's that's huge for us. Having said that, we did put another horse in the Louisiana Derby to kind of ensure a good pace to run at. So that was kind of we were trying to develop a little bit of a pace because it seemed like it could be a one horse on the lead type deal. So.
And how's the balance of family life for your fine assistant trainer and former star jockey?
Well, it's good actually. I was waiting for the 11:45 conference call, so we had to put the kids down for a nap at like 11:30, and she had a 12 o'clock massage, so there wasn't much room for much wiggle room. So I'm glad that they were pretty punctual in calling. But no, it's going well. We have a great support system. My mom and stepdad are close by, and my dad has been here all winter, so that helps with, you know, giving some breaks and helping out with the schedule. And, you know, our boys are really on a very good schedule, and she's done a good job. Rosie's done a good job with that, and it's just made things a lot easier. But and they both, especially Carson, obviously old enough to kind of, he just loves racing, so that definitely helps.
Good to get him going young. Joe, thanks very much. Good luck going forward.
Okay, thank you, Ron.
We'll go next to Ben Goans with This Is Horse Racing.
Hi, Joe. You said he was quite mild-mannered when you first got him. Has he changed mentally or physically at all since he debuted?
He's kind of inflated a little bit. You know, he's gotten more confidence. He's more of a man than a boy. Whereas when he first came in, if I had any way to describe it best. But, you know, as far as being, you know, not turning a hair, not getting up, you know, not getting worked up, he's been very, you know, definitely channeled his energy in the right direction. So.
And with him being able to win at six furlong, do you have any concerns as he continues to stretch out?
I don't, just because of his ability to shut off and you know, wait to be called upon as he displayed in Rising Star.
And with you entering the other horse in there, the plan just to sit off him and maybe Local Hero?
Yeah, I mean, just that's kind of up to Brian, see how the race unfolds. You know, see how the race unfolds. You know, anything can happen in the gate opens. And like I said, with the versatility he's shown, it definitely helps your level of confidence.
All right, thank you very much. Good luck this weekend.
Thank you.
We'll go next to John Pucci with HorseRaceInsider.com.
Good afternoon, Joe. You've answered questions relative to pace, and I guess it's hot foot and the others in there ensuring a hot face, it'd probably be good for Gervin. I was wondering who you saw as the best performances are out. I imagine you took a look at those. Can you give us a couple? I know you have to beat them all, but can you give us a couple of horses to beat? You know, thinking about
well,
hot, most horses.
Rosie and I were watching the replays after the field was drawn on some of the competitors, and I think the patch on the inside concerns me as a horse that's going the right way, developing at the right time. Also, Neil's horse, you know, I think will love the mile and an eighth. So those would be two. Local Hero, I guess I question how far he wants to go or if he'll relax over the mile and an eighth. On the, you know, that would be kind of key because I was very impressed by his maiden win. I actually texted Scott Blasi after he crossed the wire. He looks like the real deal after he broke his maiden because, you know, he was very visually impressive. Last time he seemed a little rank. But so I would say Patch would be my biggest patch, and Neil Howard would probably be the biggest biggest concern for us as far as competition go.
Thanks so much, Joe, and have a safe trip on Saturday.
Thank you.
We'll go next to Tom Jacob with the South Florida Sun Sentinel.
Yeah, Joe, you said earlier that over the years you think that horses have changed physically. Could you elaborate on that a little bit? And kind of like a related question, the Louisiana Derby's 5 weeks out from the Derby. Is that what you would consider ideal, or is that when the race came up?
Honestly, I think that... Well, as far as horses being a little changing over the years, I think that they're, I think we have maybe bred a little lighter bone into them and just kind of lightened up the, might be a little more fragile now than they used to be. And I think that, you know, the game has kind of sometimes forced people to, or influenced people to not give horses as much rest as they used to be able to, when it's turned more from the sport of kings to more of a game of neat horses needing to pay their way. So I think that's kind of what I was alluding to when I made that comment. And I think that's the nice thing about Gervin's campaign and Gervin's owners and, you know, just being patient, not putting any pressure on in situations like that. It's allowed us to have a fresh horse this time of year.
What was your other question? I'm sorry.
The 5 weeks out, is that the ideal?
Yeah,
or is
the 5 weeks
out. The race came up?
Yeah, and that's one thing that I've kind of I've always liked about the fairgrounds. Their 3 year old campaign, the series on the road to the Derby. I think it's just all of it is perfect timing from the LeCompte to the Risen Star, to the Derby, and then to the Louisiana Derby, and the Louisiana Derby to the Kentucky Derby. I think it's just, you know, for me and for how I like to train into races like that, or, you know, train at the horse like that, I think it's the optimal spacing. So.
All right. And if I could just kind of a little outside the box question because it came up this morning. Tepin refused to work this morning, and a couple of weeks ago we had Classic Empire refusing to work. Have you ever experienced things like that, and then how do you deal with it?
Yeah, I think we've all had situations like that, and it's all different depending on the horse and you know, how much more you need to do with a horse as far as, you know, that's up to the owners and trainers as far as what more you need out of Tepin. And, you know, I guess everybody knows that when a horse starts doing that stuff, they're trying to tell you something. So that's kind of up to the connections who are around them all the time to see what they're trying to tell them and take it from there. So.
Thank you very much.
And we have no further questions in the queue at this time.
All right, Joe, you've been very generous with your time. We appreciate your insight, and we wish you luck on Saturday in the Louisiana Derby.
All right, thank you guys for having us. Thanks.
All right, Joe Sharp. He's the trainer of Gervin, the likely Louisiana Derby favorite. And you'll note that his rider, Brian Hernandez, also is the regular rider of McCracken. And so Joe might give Brian something to think about this weekend in terms of where he ends up on the first Saturday of May. But moving on now, one of the main threats to Gervin, of course, will be the LeCompte winner, Guest Suite, who was fourth in the Risen Star but made up a lot of ground to get there. Trainer Neil Howard has won the Louisiana Derby twice before with Line in the Sand and Comic Strip. Of course, he's also won a host of Grade 1 stakes, including a Preakness with Summer Squall and the Kentucky Oaks with Secret Status. And, of course, he trained a Horse of the Year in Mineshaft. Neil Howard, it's Jim Mulvihill in Lexington. Thanks for coming on.
Oh, good morning, Jim. How are you?
I'm doing great. It's so good to talk to you. We're always delighted to have you on. Anytime Neil Howard has a nice horse, I feel like it's good for our friends in the media. So we're happy to be talking about Guest Suite today. I want to talk about how patient you always are with young horses. And with that in mind, I'm wondering if you can just tell us where Guest Suite is in his development, and does that give us reason to believe we haven't seen his best yet?
Yeah, I think that's fair. Yeah, he's in a good place, and he's made very nice, subtle, steady progress right from the start, up to and including the Risen Star, I felt, and he's done well since the Risen Star. I feel like he's still moving forward, and happy with everything he's doing. You know, training is in the barn and outside. I've been pleased with everything with him up to this point.
And is there anything specific you've seen in that training that makes you feel that way, or he's just doing his job? I noticed these are some fast works he's putting in.
Yeah, I think he's kind of getting to that nice peaking point that we all try to hold off getting to, I guess, if you will. But you know, I've seen subtle changes, but he's always been pretty straightforward and very genuine in his training. You know, he's a real honest kind of little horse, and but that hasn't changed. You know, he gives you what you want in the mornings, and he's given us what we want in the afternoons. But I think I'm seeing him, you know, he's kind of maybe a little bit stronger. You know, physically he looks good. You know, you can't always tell that when you're looking at him every day, but I feel like I've seen a lot of some positives, you know, inside out, you know, so to speak.
Excellent. Well, Guest Suite is a Farish and Kilroy homebred, and you trained the dam guest house for a while, and the second dam, who won the Dogwood at Churchill for you. So I'm curious about the familiarity that comes with training that line, and does it give you any extra insight into this colt's development or what you're dealing with when he comes to when he first came to you? What is there extra for you to know about this horse based on your history with the family?
Yeah, there's always a benefit to training, generations, I guess you could say, of training families of horses that you've had and offspring. With this particular horse, there wasn't anything that any of his brothers or sisters or some of the family I've been around that had any traits that were any were some kind of traits, let's put it that way. So he came to me pretty much ready to, you know, to go to the next step when I got him. He learned his lessons well. And he was straightforward ever since I had him, and there was really nothing that I had to worry about as far as, you know, like, you know, you might have trained a brother or a sister or a mother or a father that had a quirk that you knew to look out for ahead of time, which can help. But that really wasn't the case here. This horse has been pretty straightforward.
Well, being straightforward is also a good thing on the Derby Trail.
Yeah.
Neil, let's check with the media and see what questions they have for you. I'm going to turn back to the operator, Melody.
Thank you. And ladies and gentlemen, press *1 at this time for any questions. Again, *1. We'll go to Jenny Reese with the Kentucky HBPA.
Hey, Neil.
Hey, Jenny.
You think everything out so much and stuff. What do you have to see in this race to go on to the hardest race in the world to say no to?
Yeah, well, in this race, just like this last round of preps, I mean, you have to, you know, I don't want to sound cliche. I don't think you have to win. I don't think every Derby winner or has ever you know, had to win his last race, going quite the contrary. But, you know, you'd have to see a very, very good race. You know, I think you'd like to be, you know, in one, two, three, four at least, but running his kind of race, you know, a good close, I think it, you know, you run fast or fast enough. You know, you want to see a top effort, as you say, going to the toughest thing you're ever going to try to do if that's what you decide to do. And of course, it goes without saying, you know, if you do see that, then it's just a matter of how the horse does after the race, between now and the Derby, if that's what you wind up doing. But, you know, everybody's going to have a different feeling on that, a different answer for that question. But for my part, I think Mr. Farish and Mrs. Kilroy and I would want to see a very, very strong effort and see him come out of it good. And again, I don't think that means he has to win, but I don't think you at this point, you're not going to be half-stepping and go to the Kentucky Derby.
Yeah. Interesting, I think Joe was just talking about entering Hotfoot in there to make sure there's some pace. Well, you used to train Hotfoot. He was claimed off of you.
Right.
So, I mean, are you glad to see this, to see him in there with that pace and some other? It looks like there might be more pace than in the Risen Star. I'm a stupid
yeah,
question.
I mean,
I assume you're happy to see
no,
it, but.
No, I don't think it hurts anything. That's for sure. Guest Suite is his races are his best races are. He's been pretty consistent. He's an off the pace kind of horse, but doesn't get out too far back. I think he was a little further back maybe in the Risen Star than he, but that just happened. That's circumstantial. So yeah, I think the answer is yes. You know, I think it could. It's not going to hurt us. You know, I think it could help us. I don't think it'll hurt us at all.
And could you just talk about how just the whole Triple Crown and the whole complexion of a lot of these horses has changed since you were second in the Derby and won the Preakness with Summer Squall in 1990? I mean, just these, you know, with Joe's horse, these lightly raced horses that you don't even think
right.
twice that they're coming into the Derby off, you know, maybe four career starts before Churchill Downs, how it's all changed.
Yeah, I think that trend has become a little more of the norm now. You know, we learn all the time. That's one the great thing about this business, the fun part. You learn all the time. I think we're seeing that. You know, Joe certainly knows his horse in this instance, and it was him knowing that was borne out in the Risen Star, obviously. But I do think you're seeing more of that now, being very, very careful. Looking, we look ahead a lot more than we used to. And for that reason, we're taking heed to that early on and not to get too far off the subject, but now, I mean, we're in April or May nowadays and, we're already thinking, okay, how am I best going to get to the Breeders' Cup? And we're not even, you know, that kind of thing. So I think that's what causes us to be very careful and be careful about the risks of over racing and over training a horse and early in the year. But it's complex and we all deal with it a different way because,
yeah.
you know, you want to get the job done now, but yet you want to be around later on too.
Yeah. Well, final question for me, because a lot of the old school guys like your buddy Lynn Whiting would talk about, you know, there's a certain foundation you have to have in you to win the Derby. But yet again, you know, and not just Gervin, but Poitras won the last two prep races at Oaklawn with horses that only had two starts coming in, so they're going to be lightly raced, and, you know, and he's got another one in this race here. Are you glad that Guest Suite has the foundation that he has, a racing foundation? Or do you think it's a trade-off? Like you said, it's complex. Cause...
Yeah, no. I'm happy with it. Because it is complex, but I do think that this horse is always he's got a fair I will say he's got a lot of constitution, and his schedule has worked out beautifully. He had, you know, I think four races as a 2-year-old, and then he had a little bit of it, all five. I can't remember right off the top of my head. and then he had a nice break. But the other thing is, racing has also, to me, really taken a hard look at this, and that's helped trainers. The races are spaced now more, and that's helped us kind of give our horses a little bit more of a breather between races and have our horses a little fresher for these races. So I think the racing in general and the racing secretaries have also really made an effort to help, because I think they've, you know, they're smart. They look at this stuff and they've watched this trend also. So I think that, you know, they know what our mindset is now about trying to keep these horses around, and that's helped. But no, I think it's, I feel like this particular horse, his schedule so far has worked out well. As far as history goes, you know, about them saying you need freshman racing or sophomore racing, which he's had, and now he's had a couple of races. You know, I think he's not over, you know, he's perfect on the number of races that he's had. It's just a matter of if he's good enough now, mm-hmm. what happened.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Excellent. Thank you, Neil.
My pleasure.
Once again, ladies and gentlemen, star one at this time if you have a question. We'll go next to John Pritchie with HorseRaceInsider.com.
Good afternoon, Neil.
Hi, John.
In relation to Jenny, how are you? Jenny brought it up after a little recent, had a couple of bullet works there. I mean, on paper, I don't think it's any secret that, you know, you've got a couple of lengths to find, and you spoke before about, you know, reaching that balance. You want to peak, but not too much and not too soon and all of that. Those workouts, were they more geared toward his development and building that foundation for the first Saturday in May, with Louisiana being a step along the way, or are you, or were you cognizant of a few lengths to find? So let me put a little more speed into this sucker, you know.
You know, I think all of the above. I'll be honest with you. This is a lot for me to say, but his works have all been very, very well in hand, and he's done them beautiful since the LeCompte. So I my feeling is, and I say this very cautiously, it's that a sign that the horses is doing well. I try to train horses individually. You know, they don't have to go on 48. Sometimes 50 is better, depending what you're trying to do. But he's been on top of his game. The track here, we've had great weather down here. The track has been in great shape, and I don't mean as far as like being too tight or you know, or getting sped up or anything, but the track has had some pretty good bounce to it. I'm sure that maybe has added to a fifth of a second here and there. But I think he's doing well, and I think that's – and, you know, some of these three-year-olds that are coming along now, you know, you do have the 5 weeks – and some of them, I mean, I shouldn't worry about some of them. I mean, as far as this particular horse goes, he's been a little bit on his game, and that's probably added to maybe added a little sharpness to him lately. But he's doing well, and I think he's been probably maybe his works have been just slightly smarter than maybe what we were looking for time wise. But he's done them. In a comfortable manner, I guess, is the best way to say it.
Well, that's good to hear. Good luck to you on Saturday, and have a safe trip home.
Thank you so much.
We'll hear next from Ron Flatter with VSIN.
Neil, can you take me back to October when you faced McCracken? What did you see from him and your horse in that race, and then take me 5 months forward and how you've seen both horses grow? I know you've got a lot better idea of your own horse, but I'm sure you've been watching McCracken too.
Yeah, so all I wanted to see, I just wanted to see him get on that van and go to Florida and not come to New Orleans. But, I'm sure you're alluding to the street sense
yes.
in that race. Yeah, that you know, I knew Ian and I are pretty close friends and everything like that. Ian, I know Ian had been very, very, very excited about that horse, and well, he should be. And, you know, actually what I remember more than anything was the conversation Mr. Farish and I had that night after that race. And it was right that evening that Mr. Farish and I decided if the opportunity presented itself, which we thought it would, we would go ahead and do something, you know, just sit tight, try to get that next allowance race under our belt rather than run back in the stake at the end of the meet at Churchill. We knew we'd get that race. So we saw enough that night right then and there. So we have all the respect in the world for him. And, I think that we did the right thing. It gave us a chance to get that all important next, a good race under his belt heading down this way. And McCracken was able to go ahead and do his thing, which he was going to do no matter what. So, but he's a very, very nice horse, McCracken.
Are we considering him the horse to beat by default? I mean, it's almost like we're looking and scrambling to find a trend with this three-year-old crop right now, and I'm not sure we found any. I mean, have you seen one?
I think that there are four or five nice horses out there. I would say what I've seen in McCracken, obviously, which we just, you know, spoke of, and I think Dale Roman's colt looks to be a horse that's going to have, he looks like a really, really nice colt, that J-Boy's Echo. And I thought both the Todd's, the one that won the Tampa Bay Derby and the horse that won the Rebel, I think there are probably about a half a dozen, obviously Mastery would normally be in that conversation, but he's on the shelf right now. But I think there are five or six really, really excellent colts out there and right now. You know, there's so much mystique to these kind of this triple crown season things. You know, obviously a lot of things have to go right, but I think those four or five horses are, you know, nothing to give away in these kind of races, but those are really, really nice colts, all of them. But McCracken is watched his work on a video yesterday. He looked really, really well. Brian Hernandez, as you know, rides a lot for me, and we're very good friends, and I know he's excited about him, and I think Brian has a very good opinion. So, that's kind of my feeling on the top few.
Okay. And finally, with Robbie Alvarado, can you just talk about the confidence you have with him, considering he's had his problems here in recent years, and he's on the comeback trail in a way?
Yeah, I mean, Robbie, you know, we've had Mr. Farish and Robbie and I have had a great relationship over the years, and that continues, and, you know, tenure is always a good thing. And, you know, we couldn't feel better about, you know, Robbie helping us along with this horse up to this point. And we'll just see what happens going forward.
Very good. Thank you, Neil. Good luck.
Thank you, sir.
We have no further questions in the queue at this time.
All right, Neil, before we let you go, just very quickly, I'm wondering if we could get an Eagle update. You've got him in the New Orleans handicap. What are you expecting from Eagle in his second start off the layoff?
Yeah, he's done well. We were pleased with his first race back off of kind of a lengthy layoff, and he also has had a very, very good month since that race. So, you know, we're looking, you know, we're cautiously optimistic, but we're looking forward to a good race from him.
Excellent. Well, Neil, best of luck with both these horses on Saturday. I'll see you in New Orleans, and
okay.
We'll see you in Louisville as well soon after.
Okay. Well, thank you so much.
All right. Neil Howard, trainer of Guest Suite in the Louisiana Derby and Eagle in the New Orleans Handicap. Now let's turn our attention to the $1 million Florida Derby at Gulfstream Park, where Gunavera will be the likely favorite. And we could see the top three from the Fountain of Youth, depending on whether Chad Brown decides to enter Practical Joke. Third in that Fountain of Youth was Three Rules, who dominated a series of Florida-bred stakes last fall before running sixth in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. This year, he debuted with a strong second around one turn in the Swale. Before leading the Fountain of Youth into the stretch, he posted one of his typically fast works on Saturday for Jose Pinchon, who will join us momentarily. Pinchon is a native of Jamaica, where he took out his trainer's license at 18. He's been training for 45 years, the last 17 of those here in the U.S. Jose Pinchon, it's Jim Mulvihill at the NTRA here. How you doing?
Oh, I'm good.
Thanks for joining us. I'm eager to hear more about your colt. I was watching the Fountain of Youth replay this morning, and I just love the way he battled onto the wire. You know, Gunavera was gone in that race, but Three Rules really fought Practical Joke all the way to the wire. Just tell us a little bit about this horse's his will, and also whether he can battle like that as the distances get longer.
Well, we're hoping that he'll battle like that as the distances get longer. That was a tough race. He got pressured from early. You know, and he ran a real good race. He ran his race. And as you say, he fought on right to the bitter end. Hopefully, if there's not as much early speed, you know, we can probably go all the way.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I mean, you know, there's always questions as the distances get longer, but at the same time, it might mean that there's not as much pace, so you might get an easier lead than you would otherwise.
Yeah, that's right.
Excellent. Well, you've already got 10 Kentucky Derby points, so really all you need to make it to the Kentucky Derby would be a third or better in this race. That would pretty much assure you a spot at Churchill Downs. So, you know, $1 million race is $1 million race, but tell us what's more important to you, winning Saturday or just making sure that you secure a spot in the Kentucky Derby?
You know, you'd love to win the Florida Derby. It's $1 million. But if you don't win, you want to run good. You know, you want to run good. But if you move on, you move on to the Kentucky Derby.
And what do you feel like you need to see on Saturday to go on to the Derby?
I need to see a real good race out of it, you know, from wire to wire. We've seen fight.
Yeah. Very good. Well, Jose, hang on for a second, and I'm going to check with the media. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, no, if that, you know, it doesn't make sense, you know, you probably go on to the Preakness or something instead.
Right, right. Yeah, well, that could suit him well as well. Well, let me see what the media has for you. The operator is going to check on the line and see if there are questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, star one at this time for any questions. Again, star one. We'll go to Tom Jacob with South Florida Sun Sentinel.
Jose, there's a story on the racing form today that Practical Joke is going to the Bluegrass. How does that affect your horse on Saturday and the shape of the race?
Well, that's good news for me if he goes. You know, he's a tough contender. That would help me a lot.
And another story that was in the racing form maybe a week or so ago is that you're off the Derby trail kind of, and you're pointing toward the Preakness. Is that accurate?
Yeah, that's accurate. But if you win the Florida Derby, you've got to go on to the Kentucky. You know what I mean?
Okay. What about a real good, you know, losing a bob at the wire, a real strong second, or you know, a three-horse photo? Would you still think of the Kentucky Derby, or would you point more toward the Florida, toward the Preakness?
That will be left up to the owners. That part will be their decision.
In some of the races last summer, this horse did rate just off the pace. I mean, he was just much better than the horses he was facing. Could he sit off if there's you know, an early speed horse who's coming out of a sprint or something. Could he sit off a horse like that on Saturday?
I think so. I think he could. He's not a gung-ho horse. I mean, just keeping his works, you know, he's rateable.
And just one last thing. You beat Gunavera twice last year before he got on his roll. Does that give you any extra confidence or anything? You've done it twice. Can you do it again?
I'm sure I could. I mean, Gunavera got it a real setup for him the last time. You know, it was a real fast pace, and he's a nice horse. He's a good closer.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
Once again, ladies and gentlemen, star one at this time to ask a question. And gentlemen, it appears we have no further questions at this time.
All right, Jose, before we let you go, I'd just like to learn a little bit more about your background. You know, we, as I said earlier, you were training in Jamaica for a long time before coming to the U.S. Just talk about why you decided to make that move and how your career has developed over so many decades.
Well, it was about time to leave Jamaica. You can go so far there and no more. And I decided to come to Miami and give it a try. And it's worked out real good. We have been fortunate. We have had some nice horses. And things are good.
Well, I would say so. It's always good to have a top three-year-old and be able to point for Triple Crown races. So, Jose, we can't wait to see how things go on Saturday, and we wish you luck in the Florida Derby.
And thanks a lot.
All right. Jose Pynchon, the trainer of Three Rules, who, if practical joke, is going to the Bluegrass. Three Rules would likely be the second choice in the Florida Derby on Saturday. So some very intriguing three-year-old races coming up this weekend. That'll do it for this national media teleconference, but we'll be back next week to talk about more major three-year-old prep races. My thanks again to all of today's guests, Joe Sharp, Neil Howard, and Jose Pynchon. The audio file of this call will be up later today on NTRA.com, and we'll have a transcript posted there tomorrow for everyone's reference. Thanks to everybody for joining us. Thanks, as always, to Joan Lawrence for lining up these guests. And if there's anything we can do to help your coverage along the Triple Crown Trail, just give us a ring. Now I'll send it back to Melody to wrap it up.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. That does conclude today's conference. Thank you all for attending. You may now disconnect.